Good morning. Well, I have just been blessed with a very special gift. There's a note up here that says, for Mr. Billy only. Dear Mr. Billy, hope you love the mints from your little buddy. I've got an idea who this is. Now, if I were to use all four of these, the sermon would be very, very long, okay? So I'm only going to use one. In fact, I'm already using one, but I've got a little buddy taking care of me, thinking about in terms of not only blessing me with a gift, but also encouraging the time, I am sure. It is wonderful to be with you today, and we have so many visitors, many of whom are back home for various occasions, that it's almost like a homecoming to see you, and we're grateful for you being here. I am thankful that Roy mentioned about Old Mania. I'm also very happy to mention about the tremendous success, another hard-working group for months, probably a year. Our Ladies' Day here yesterday was a tremendous success, and we thank Belinda and Becky for being the speakers, but for all of you who helped in a great way. We had at least 18 congregations represented, and that probably does not include everyone, but that is a tremendous response. And with everything else going on, that's a great day for our ladies. We're very proud of you and thankful for you. Joan and I had to miss both of those occasions, Ladies' Day as well as Old Mania. On Friday, we were blessed to be in Atlanta at Greater Atlanta Christian School observing Grandparents' Day for our five-year-old Dawson. And part of the program, Greater Atlanta is an outstanding school. They have incredible facilities. And part of the program was, after the main portion of the program, the grandchildren would then give their grandparents a tour of the campus, and we had the opportunity, of course, to meet and hug a lot of people. There were just hundreds of folks there. But in particular, what I wanted to share with you, little Dawson, again, 5 years old, what is called K-5, or kindergarten for five-year-olds, was leading Mimi toward a particular building. He said, come on, Mimi, let's go to the Spartan store. Well, we had not been to the Spartan store. They are the Spartans. And so she asked, well, what is the Spartan store? And he said, well, it's the bookstore. And she said, what can we get there? And he says, candy and flu shots. Now, you just can't make that kind of thing up. But sure enough, the week before, that is the place where everyone who wanted to get a flu shot, including little Dawson, had their flu shot. So he asked Mimi, Mimi, have you had your flu shot? I'll do the candy. You can have the flu shot. But never heard of that in terms of a bookstore before. I have been asked before we began to mention a very special situation that we, all of us, have been praying about for 2 years. And this is not unusual in terms of those who remain on our prayer list for a good while and even longer than that. But Bobby and Betty Bush received word earlier this week from their daughter Jennifer that her malignancy, that is one of the more serious and described as terminal when first reported, Jennifer has been told that she is in remission. The reason that Bobby and Betty want that mentioned, not just merely as an announcement to you, is that they know, they are absolutely convinced, as is Jennifer and her husband Bob and their four precious sons, they know that it is because of the prayers of God's people. Obviously, in addition to the medication that she is receiving, but they know that it's because of her great faith and because of the prayers that so many people have been praying in her behalf that they believe that she has received this good news. And we are so happy to share that with you. She is going to continue to need prayers as treatments continue, and that will be the case with many people that we know and love and are concerned about. But they wanted me to share that especially with you. I think that really is appropriate in terms of the emphasis that we're using in these few moments to remind ourselves of who we are, whose we are, and what we are supposed to be in the Lord. And that is, we are to stand firm through the course of life, regardless of what life brings. Jennifer, like many among our group, has been a tremendous example of that, and we are proud of her. The reason that Paul brings this great letter we know as 1 Corinthians, one of the most valuable in terms of trying to figure out how the church works and how the church responds to the various difficulties, questions, issues, as well as opportunities that come along. It again is something that we turn to again and again to try to learn what the Lord's will is. You get to chapter 16 and you've had 15 previous chapters in which Paul has dealt with the following. Chapter 1, the subject of division among brethren. And in chapters 2 through 4, the matter of depending upon worldly wisdom as opposed to the wisdom of God. Corinth would have been a hotbed like Athens, Greece, of human philosophy. In chapter 5, the matter of immorality right there within the life of the congregation. Lawsuits against each other. In chapter 6, divorce and remarriage. Marriage, divorce, and remarriage. In chapter 7, the question of Christian liberty. A very important topic occupies chapters 8 through 10. The role of women in the church. In chapter 11, in chapters 12 through 14, including the love chapter of 13, the matter of spiritual gifts, the use of them, as well as the limits of them in those chapters. And then we come to chapter 15, which you'll recall is the great resurrection chapter. Because of the Lord's resurrection, we too can look forward to being raised someday from the dead. And then, as we come to these principles that Paul has, five principles for powerful living in the Lord, standing firm. Let's notice briefly what he says. Be alert. Be alert. This is a theme that is not just Paul's in the New Testament. It really began with the Lord. In fact, it would have been even before that in the Old Testament. But especially the Lord talked about being on the alert and watching for certain things. You might recall even as he came to the Gethsemane experience, he tells the apostles to watch, to be on the alert, as well as to pray. There are reasons why we need to be on the alert as members of the family of God. You see listed here just things that come to mind very quickly. Our great adversary. How tragic it is that we want to make Satan our friend, and we want to be friends with Satan as well as the Lord, and we can't be because he's not our friend. He is our adversary, 1 Peter 5, 8 and 9. A roaring lion going about seeking whom he may devour. And we have all been prey to this roaring lion. Satan uses what John will say in 1 John 2, 15 to 17, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life as primary ways in which he gets us to do his will rather than the Father's. Closely related to that, the matter of temptation, which in and of itself is not a bad word. Temptation simply reminds us that we are given opportunities to give in or to resist. Sometimes we're given the opportunity to be tempted to do what is the right thing to do, and we fail to take advantage of it. But the idea of being tried, being tested, to see whether or not we are true to the great confession of faith that we have made at the time of our baptism into Christ. Again, the Lord said to the apostles, Mark 14:38, watch that you may not come into temptation. They couldn't do it. They didn't do it. They had celebrated a great feast. They were weary. They were tired. They were sleepy. The Lord is crying unto God the Father while these subject themselves and submit to temptation. We too must be on the alert for those and things that would tempt us. The matter of apathy and indifference. In the seven churches to Asia Minor, letters to those churches, the Lord refers in Revelation 3, 1 to 3 to the church at Sardis. A church, he says, that you have the reputation of being alive, but you are dead. And he's referring, of course, to being dead spiritually. In every congregation, must always look in the mirror of God's Word and see themselves and see how are we doing here. How are we doing here from leadership to fellowship and everything in between? Are we alive? He's warned them to wake up and repent, lest the Lord come upon you in judgment, just like a thief in the night when you don't expect it. This reminds us, you and I are to be excited about being here, about being in the assembly of the saints, being, as Tom mentioned in his prayer, in the presence of God the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. We're to be excited about that. And we're not just going through the motions or the emotions. We are worshiping our Father, and we're excited about that, and we're excited about what the Word teaches. There's the matter of false teaching, 2 Peter 2 and verse 1. This is a perhaps overlooked verse, but it's a powerful verse. It talks about not only have there been false teachers, there are false teachers, and there are going to be false teachers. And then Peter says, even those who deny the master who bought them. Isn't that a wonderful thought? They deny the master who bought them. We have been bought with the blood of Christ, but so have those who, for whatever reason or motivation, are teaching falsehood rather than truth. Those are some negative things. Think about positives for a moment. Be on the alert in prayer. Over and over again, the emphasis is upon watch while you pray. That was true at Gethsemane. It was true in the early church. That is the history of the early church, as they were constantly threatened with persecution. Be on the watch, be on the alert while you pray. Don't be afraid, don't be fearful, because your faith is in the Lord. But pray at all times, Ephesians 6:18. Pray without ceasing, 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Watch and pray. Someone has well said that prayer is the heartbeat of the spiritual life. And I've never heard anyone say, I pray too much. I think all of us will confess we do not pray nearly enough, because we are so self-sufficient, or we tend to be. And we're never at our best than when we humble ourselves, even thrust ourselves to our knees, to the floor, whatever, in praying to our Father. And then in view of the Lord's second coming, this is something that we're to be on the alert for. The Bible does not teach the immediate return of the Lord. It teaches the imminent return of the Lord. The difference, of course, being imminent means it could happen at any time, at any moment. And so that's what the Lord is talking about when he says, Matthew 24, even the Son does not know when he's going to return. Only the Father knows. So you be ready at every moment. Think about the implications of that in how you live your Christian life, and how serious you are, or how lackadaisical you are, or how laid back you are about the things that are most important in life. The Lord could indeed come today. Be firm in the faith is our next encouragement from Paul. Stand fast. Be firm in the faith. We find the word faith here refers to the totality of the whole of the gospel message. Whatever is a gospel topic qualifies in this term of the use or of the word faith. It's like when Jude says, contend earnestly for the faith. The message that we're here today to hear proclaimed, not just again to do something that we're accustomed to doing. We're here to learn more. We're here to hopefully be added to our faith. But Paul says this is the faith back in chapter 15, verse 1 of 1 Corinthians. He says, this is the faith wherein you stand. This is where you have life. This is where you exist. This is the explanation for wearing the name Christian. And being humble about it in the right way, but being proud about it in the right way. And standing for the one in whom we believe. And so anything that comes within the contents of the New Testament message, this is where we stand. Paul says, fight the good fight of the faith, 1 Timothy 6 and verse 12. doctrine is obviously clearly in view here. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3, Paul warned about, like Eve was deceived or beguiled by Satan through his craftiness, that we too could be led astray or led away from the beauty and the simplicity that is in Christ. We can make the gospel as complex as you want to make it, but it is basically a simple message of God's love for a lost world through his Son, Jesus the Christ, and salvation in his church. Paul encouraged the Ephesians, don't be like children who believe whatever they're told, tossed to and fro with every weight of wind of doctrine, but rather know the truth and stand for that which is true. We've listed here some of the things for which we stand, that there is a God in heaven who's our Father, and that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. We remind you again of the billions who do not believe that in the world today. And sometimes we act like it. And that the Bible is the inspired, inerrant, authoritative, final Word of God, not the Word of man. And that the church is His bride and His body, through whom we have life as well as we have our work. The plan of salvation, faith, repentance, baptism for the remission of sins, faithfulness in living the Christian life, God's plan for marriage, God's plan for family, God's plan for living the single Christian life. And in the doctrine of last things, there is a day coming. We sometimes sing, there is a great day coming, and it will be a great day when the Lord appears. The Bible concludes by saying, even so, come, Lord Jesus. We need to be living in view of that great day. Paul also says, be mature, or in the translation from which Tony read a few moments ago, be brave, be brave. King James translation says, act like men. That is to say, be courageous. Play the role of someone who stands on what they believe and is courageous for it. So when we talk about a mature person in Christ, we know of those who know what it is they believe and why, and they're constantly learning. We're constantly adding to what we know. We have a confidence because of that. And then from that confidence, there comes a courage to stand up and speak. We have examples of that in Scripture. We have examples who fail their opportunities. And we've lived long enough to have both opportunities to be courageous, and we've also had opportunities to where we've been less than courageous. But hopefully when we were, we confessed that sin and we begged God's forgiveness, repenting of it, and He restored us. Here's a person who is stable. Here is some person that you could say is solid as a rock. That is because you know what he or she believes and how he or she is going to react, how they're going to respond to whatever may come along. It may be some great opportunity for success. It may be some tragedy. It may be something that is in terms of a test of illness or otherwise. But here are people who have learned to grow up in the Lord. Yes, there's the matter of the sincere milk of the Word, but there's also the matter of feasting upon the meat of the Word, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And as we learn about where Scripture plays its role in our lives, teaching us, correcting us, instructing us, reproving us, all of that, Paul says in 2 Timothy 3, in righteousness, then it's left to us to translate that instruction, to translate that reproof, that righteousness into the living of our lives, serving our brethren as well as serving the world, and in doing so, serving God our Father. Number four is we're to be strong. Be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord and the strength of His might, Ephesians 6 and verse 10. This is the result of the strength that comes not from ourselves, but from the one that we believe in and the one in whom we have entrusted everything. When you get to know not just about Jesus, but you get to know Jesus, There's a great transformation that comes over you, and you will find yourself with a strength that is not your own. It is the strength of faith. Faith is the result of knowledge, and ultimately the result of that is wisdom, and we grow in being stronger in the Lord. Paul warns that the one who thinks that he is strong in and of himself is not strong and is sure to fall. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12. Even Paul himself knew what it was like to be humbled at the expense of being proud, perhaps of all of his abilities, but also because of all the gifts that he had been given, all the opportunities that he had been given. So he was given this thorn in the flesh that maintained his humility even at the time of his spiritual strength. How do we grow? We really do sacrifice ourselves in behalf of the Lord, who made the ultimate sacrifice for us. We do deny ourselves certain things, Titus 2, 11 to 14. We do also practice self-discipline. All of these in a certain context, the world is not interested in it all, but we've got to be models of. It's just like in your physical strength. You want to know how physically strong you are? Then put yourself to the test. And then if you want to know how spiritually strong you are, then see how you do when temptation comes. See how you do when opportunity comes. See how you do when illness and loss and all the dangers that there are out there in the world. We grow stronger physically by developing physical strength, and we grow stronger spiritually by developing spiritual strength. And then finally, Paul says, all of this is in the context of our motivation. All of this would not mean very much if it were not for verse 14, that all that you do, let all that you do be done in love. Would not that be the description of the God that we love and the God that we serve? Would that also not be the description of the Lord Jesus, whose name means salvation, but it also means to us love, right? Is this not what we're expected to find when we come together as a congregation of the Lord's people, as a family of the Lord's people? We're expected to find love. Love complements and balances everything. For instance, when you look back over these various virtues that Paul is encouraging, if our motive is love, standing fast, standing firm in the faith will not cause us to grow hardness or develop hardness in our convictions, because they'll be motivated, those convictions will be motivated by love. And it will keep us, in terms of being strong people, a stronger people. Yes, but we understand the strength is from the Lord and not ourselves, and we will not be domineering. It will keep our maturity gentle and considerate rather than boastful. It will keep our doctrine right according to the truth, according to the standard, but it will keep our doctrine from becoming a series of creeds or something that declines into cold dogmatism. It keeps our right living from becoming self-righteousness, as was the case with people who wanted to be religious, but that the Lord called hypocrites. We know them better as Pharisees in the ministry of the Lord. Love for God and for each other is the motive of all that we do. So, one reason that we appreciate the instruction that Paul has given here, dealing with a letter that has to do with so many doctrinal matters, he comes to the close of it with this reminder that we are to love, that we are to be alert, that we are to be firm in our faith, that we are to be mature, we are to be strong or brave, But all of that in the context of remembering the motive behind it all. And I think it's fair to say that the one who writes this by inspiration is also someone who is our model for showing just how he did that. Paul would come to the close of his life still talking about love for God, love for people, and in particular, the ones that he wanted to see the most were the ones that he most desperately loved and needed their encouragement. That's what you would expect from someone who has demonstrated as well as taught these qualities. This morning we sing to encourage, there's a fountain free for you and for me. And as that fountain flows, referring of course to really the fountain of the cross itself, from which flows the blood of our Lord that cleanses us from all unrighteousness, may we take to heart a very simple couple of statements packed with implications, packed with applications of how we're to go about our daily lives as the Lord's people. But maybe there's someone who's ready to become a part of this family by being baptized into Christ. Maybe there's someone who's ready to come back home to your family after finding yourself, for whatever reason, estranged from the family. This is why there's an invitation. This is why there's an invitation song to encourage us. If it applies to you, be alert. Be strong. Be brave. Be mature. Be strong in the Lord, in the faith of the Lord. And be loving as the foundation of all that we do, all that we are, while we stand and sing.